Firefighter and former musician Brian Panowich grew up in Europe until the family settled in East Georgia. His debut novel is now out, entitled Bull Mountain, and takes place in that region. Spanning decades, the story is told from alternating points of view. The novel evokes the atmosphere of the mountain and its inhabitants, forbidding, loyal, gritty, and ruthless. It is a story of family, the lengths men will go to protect it, honor it, or in some cases, destroy it. It's a great pleasure to welcome Brian Panowich to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you here. What brought you to this particular subject?
The subject of North Georgia or the crime aspect?
Well, let's say North Georgia, and then we'll hone in on the crime itself.
I wanted to write a family saga. I'm a military brat, so I don't really have any roots anywhere. My father didn't retire until I was about 13, so I'd seen most of the country and overseas. And when I moved here, I ended up, that tumbleweed thing kind of stuck, and I traveled around most of my adult life. And when my daughter was born, I moved back home to Georgia. My wife's family is deeply rooted into North Georgia, and I've spent a lot of time there watching my daughter grow up. And that place, I think, often goes overlooked as one of the most beautiful parts of the country. And so I knew that when the day came for me to write a novel, it would be rooted there. As far as the crime aspect is concerned, I knew that I was going to write a family dynamic, and man, I read a lot of Elmore Leonard, so it just kind of felt natural to have that be the setting.
We meet Clayton Burroughs. He comes from a long line of outlaws, and there is a lot of crime activity going on. And talk a little bit, before we get into the specifics in this case, of how perhaps many of us find it surprising that there is this level of crime happening in such a remote location.
Well, I think mainly because there's the myth of the toothless redneck that exists out there, and the rest of the world doesn't necessarily see what happens here outside of like shows like Moonshiners or Redneck Island and that kind of thing. And so the idea of there being complex criminal empires that exist in the South, I think, is surprising to a lot of people. In fact, it was surprising to me to find out that North Georgia was so deeply entrenched in the moonshine business when Prohibition was going on, even post-Prohibition. A lot of places around the country are famous for that kind of thing, Kentucky, West Virginia, but Georgia, not so much. They didn't make the history books. That in itself was a good seed for my story because, and I like to say it the way the guy put it to me, that was telling me, about this, some people that I know in North Georgia who were around then or had fathers around then, and he said, you know what, Georgia was just smart enough to never get caught. And I think that speaks volumes about the amount of intelligence that's down here, which is the exact opposite of the way that we're portrayed.
You talk about the book being about family, and this is ultimately about a son who's trying to come out of the shadow of his father, which is interesting because he still has this guilt of not living up to the family name.
Sure. Well, when you come from a place where family is everything and you put that above everything, what do you do with the fact that your father and your brothers don't respect you and don't want any part of you because you're born differently? The way I love this expression I heard from somebody that I was talking to as I was writing the book about being born soft. That's something that stuck with me. And what that means, I asked him to elaborate. And what that means is he not necessarily was born weak or a sissy by no means, but just he was born with a conscience. And he knew early on as a child that he was not going to be able to do and maintain the types of things that his brothers and his father before him and his father before him had done in the name of family. And so there was that rift that was created early on. And so he carries that conflict around with him that, you know, he's supposed to be part of this. Family is supposed to be everything. But at the same time, he can't be a part of his family, and his family doesn't necessarily want him to be a part of them. And that's incredibly heavy weight to carry if you're a Southern man. Or woman.
In making these characters ring true for you and reflect that the area they live in, what was necessary for you as a writer to do to capture that in the correct way?
I'm a pretty strong advocate against violence for violence sake, just for the shock value of selling a book and or selling anything for that matter. And so I have these characters, and in order to make these characters to understand why they're doing these things, you can't just write out a scene as I was writing it thinking, okay, well, I know, but I have to get the reader to understand. So I had to jump back in time quite a bit in order to explain that these people aren't viewing what they're doing as wrong. They're viewing it as taking care of their own, and that comes above right or wrong, and it blurs that line almost completely gone. And so that's actually how the format of the novel took shape, was I would write a scene, and I would have one of these men from this family do something terrible, but in order for you to understand what spurred that, you needed to know that these people were raised in it. They were raised to believe that above all else is kin and land, and that's it. Everything else is just necessity.
I did find
that format that the book took. Actually, I was scared to put it out there to my agent because I was afraid that it would scare him off. But it turned out to be one of the strengths of the story. So I'm glad we did it. I'm glad I went with my gut.
And you knew that right away. I mean, I guess it takes a while for you to figure out to go with your gut.
It does, especially me, because I've never written a book before. I didn't know the rules, you know. I'd never even attempted to write a novel before. My entire career as a writer has been 2 years long. I took up writing. I used to want to do it when I was a little kid, all the way up until through high school. But I'm a proud comic book nerd. I always have been, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And it didn't really, it wasn't working for me as a teenager because girls don't really like that kind of thing. So I abandoned it and traded it in for a guitar, and I took a 20-year detour playing music. And then that happened for most of my adult life. And then when I finally got through with that, when my daughter was born, I came off the road, a new chapter. I needed to do something creative to keep from going crazy. So just as a hobby, I started writing these little short stories, and turns out that agents in New York read those short stories online, and boom, there was a novel, and then now I'm talking to you. So I didn't have any rules or know ahead of time what I was going to do or how it was going to happen. It was a very stream of consciousness type thing.
As you mentioned, you were a musician. You're now a full-time firefighter and a writer, as you say, almost part-time. So I assume the idea is that this would become the full-time occupation.
I would love to be able to hand this over to my kids so that when they grow up, they get to see that their father did something, this monumental. To me, if it all ended tomorrow, I have this to give to them. And that's the best feeling in the world for a father. Outside of that, I don't think I'd ever stop being a firefighter. I mean, it's a great job, and there's no sense in stopping. In fact, the only way I get to write is on my downtime at the firehouse, because I do have four children, and there's no getting anything done in the shoe that I live in. So if I don't have that job to go and write on in the middle of the night, I don't think I could write another word.
What is there about do you find a commonality in the three professions of a musician, a firefighter, a writer? It seems that there is an element of risk in all of them, obviously. And at least two of them involve a little bit of showing off.
You're exactly right. And I'll be honest with you, when I was playing music, that was my main objective, was to be the center of attention. I loved it. It was something that once you do for a long time, entertaining people or being in the spotlight is something that it's hard to give up. It really is. And so when you really have to cash out and admit that maybe it's just not working out, and that's essentially what I had to do when my daughter was born, because I wasn't going to miss out on her life by trying to continue down this road that I had gone down for 12 years and it wasn't working. When I had to come home, there really was no – I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't have a skill set. Falling into the fire service saved me, because it actually put me back into a position to where I – now was important again. I was doing something that was important that not everybody could do. And so that was my allure to the fire service, and I loved it. But at the same time, I wasn't I wasn't creating anything. And when you're inherent to doing that for so long, it becomes a part of you, and that's where my writing came from. Is I had to create something. Strumming the guitar in a corner just wasn't working out for me. So this did.
This idea in the book that these characters that it's tough to have a clear distinction of good and bad characters, of who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. And I assume that comes ultimately from life, but maybe even from personal experience of that geographic region.
Sure, absolutely. These people do not think that they're doing anything wrong. They're heroes in their own story. You've got these men who brutalize other people in the name of land and family, and they're doing it for land and family, and that's what they're. And there are people behind them who respect and honor them for it. So the idea of having a villain just decide one day to be a villain, to me, has never been interesting, and it almost becomes a cartoon. And in fact, it does. I did not want these characters to be portrayed like that. There's enough of that out there already perpetuating the myth of the toothless redneck that I'd like to my novel to be a rebuttal against. So for these people, it's not criminality. It's just a way of life. It's to take care of their family and their kin above all else, and to keep people from telling them what to do with their own land.
And that isn't even necessarily a Southern thing. You've mentioned Elmore Leonard a few times in our conversation. He obviously wrote an awful lot about Detroit, so there's a city. So you see these commonalities even there.
Sure. I mean, dysfunction in family is something that everybody can relate to. No matter how perfect or polished you might appear to be on the outside, I promise you that there's some darkness going on, swirling around every family that's out there. I took that concept and cranked it up to the 9. That was the point.
Well, the name of the book is Bull Mountain. It is a novel. It is published by Putnam. Brian Panowich, thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck with the new novel.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the new novel is Bull Mountain by Brian Panowich. It's published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.